Chapter 32. Sterndrang, the Underhive of Molior. The scrap of light became an iris, then an oval, getting wider and wider until it was a portal that led close to the surface of Sterndrang. Agatone closed his eyes as moist, relatively fresh air from the world above washed over his face and body, cooling the Underhive heat. He blind-loaded his pistol, hoping he wouldn't have to use it, then secured his combat blade and spare clips.
"Are we going into battle again, Brother Agatone?"
"Yes, we are,"
Agatone replied, opening his eyes but keeping them fixed on the portal of light.
"I thought you knew him, this..." he recalled the name, "Chulgan."
"It's because I know him that I'm preparing for a fight."
Agatone glanced down at the medicus to convey the seriousness of his next words.
"Chulgan won't go down easy."
The light enveloped them, and a bracing wind whipped around the lifter's carriage as its two passengers were exposed to the elements. They had emerged into an expansive shipyard, one lost to decay and neglect, but still usable for embarkation. Ostensibly still very much a part of the Underhive, the shipyard was situated at the bottom of an immense and long shaft that fed all the way to the surface of Sterndrang and the void beyond. Wrecks of old vessels, their fuselages ripped open and gutted like animal carcasses, littered a flat rockcrete plain studded with snapped communication spikes and relay towers. Hangars and warehouses, their gates broken open and contents scavenged, colonized one small area of the yard, and there were workshops and a freight depot. It wasn't hard to imagine this place as once being inhabited, but only ghosts lingered now, and the echoes of old lives. There were bodies, not of men, but some indigenous prey creature, as far as Agatone could tell. Several corpses had been left out in the open to rot. What he first believed was metal, reflecting off the ambient light above, were actually eyes, blinking in the shadows. More of the prey creatures, too afraid to venture closer, with the bullet-holed bodies of their kin stinking in plain view. Agatone counted 8, most of which had been split by a heavy blade, not unlike the one used in the Archivium. Some had simply been blasted apart by some immense and unsubtle weapon.
"Stay close to me," Agatone murmured, eyes scanning for threats.
"Is he here?"
whispered Isak.
Agatone nodded.
"How can you be..."
Isak began. The dull throb of a turbine rotor cycling up interrupted him. Agatone snarled and spoke between clenched teeth.
"No, not again."
He ran, leaving Isak behind to fend for himself. He didn't call back or tell the medicus what he should do. He just ran. Bursting from behind a hangar and through a knot of ships, Agatone emerged into a sparsely occupied area of the shipping yard to see a gun cutter rising in the distance. Comms traffic had started crackling in his ear, and he assumed some of the towers retained some small level of function. He ignored it for now, intent on the figure waiting below the rising vessel. It was muscular, broad-shouldered, and wearing strange armor. It was also bald, with onyx-black skin. Agatone ran harder, pumping his arms and urging his legs to greater effort. A large chasm split off the part of the shipping yard he was on and the spur currently occupied by the figure. He realized they must have scaled it. Glancing up, Agatone saw it was the only place that offered a clear run up the shaft. He could make the leap. If the figure could do it, then so could he. A side hatch in the ship opened, sliding left to right, and another figure appeared. Smaller, human. Male. Agatone locked the details away in his memory for later use. A line was lowered and the waiting figure grasped it as it came down. It still had its back to Agatone, heedless of his rapid approach.
I can make it,
Agatone hissed between his teeth, psychologically preparing for the jump. It was at least 20 meters. The crackling in his ear bead resolved into words. A distress beacon that was coming from the forge hammer. Agatone listened, scowled. Ahead, the figure had wrapped the line around its wrist and was signaling for the vessel to take off. Agatone could still reach it. The chasm loomed. One solid leap and he would be on him. The message continued. Agatone began to slow, fists clenched in slow frustration. He skidded to a halt at the edge of the abyss and could only watch as his prey was pulled into the air and away from his grasp. The forge hammer was under attack. He had no choice but to return. Agatone activated the locator signal that would summon the waiting ships to come and retrieve him. He set off another beacon for both Locke and Clovius so they would know the hunt was over. Comms might be patchy, but the beacon would get through.
Chorgon, he uttered breathlessly.
The other vessel rose, the figure disappearing within, the turbine engines carrying it far away. Agatone found his voice and his fury.
Chorgon!